seated. I don't want to lose that in a way. I want to keep that going for a minute for communion. There's something especially sweet about worship in the vineyard. And I think it's because we sing to Jesus. We don't sing about Jesus. One of the songs they sang was, "All my life you have been faithful. All I will sing about your goodness." So it's singing to Jesus, and that's really sweet. Thank you. Holy Spirit, come. More, more, more of your presence, we pray. Fill us, fill us, fill us to overflowing. This year, as it seems to be... Oh, sorry, my name's Ruth, in case there's anyone who doesn't know me. This year, and it seems to happen about every 2 years, the focus for my year seems to be on intimacy and hanging out with Jesus in his presence and growing in my relationship with him. And one of the books that's helping me get underway, I've started reading this book called The Deeply Formed Life. Yes. Okay, The Deeply Formed Life. And it was only by about page 4 that I started being really challenged. And one of the things that challenged me, it said that we get burnout not because we're working too hard, but because we're doing it from a place of being empty in our deep life. And that was the challenge to go, okay, I need to renew the deep life. I need to renew the deep life. And a verse that I love and I think others love and has come back to me in a new way from Matthew chapter 11 in the Message. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And in this book, it was talking about how we really have to slow down to catch up with God. God's not in a hurry. We have to slow down and catch up to God. And I think, in a way, that's a little bit what communion's about. Slowing down and catching up to God. And one of the first practices it talks about here is silent prayer. I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at sitting silently. Even if my mouth is not working, my brain and my eyes are flitting here and there and everywhere. So I thought today, let's practice and sit silently. Someone asked Mother Teresa what she talks with God about when she prays. And she said, "I don't talk, I listen." So I thought, let's just listen. Sit and try to still your mind completely. And I'm telling you, I'm the queen of distraction. Sit and still your mind completely. And when you are ready, then take communion. Okay? Just where you are, on your own. Listen to God. Don't talk, no phones, mind centered on God, all right? I think I'll flick so I can see when it's about a minute. Let's practice for a minute, hey? So we'll try and be absolutely silent, silent brain, silent eyes, and just focus on God for a minute and take communion when you're ready. Jesus says to you, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Pray that God, that this year you will help us to learn how to do life at your pace, to walk with you and to work with you. Do it as you would do it. Thank you, Jesus, for sweet communion with you. Now I'm going to break the thing. No, I'm going to sneak in a little weeny testimony because I know it's something. Well, I went up to Belair to State Flora Park this morning and bought to look for gardening. And you might not have noticed, I'm wearing my Vineyard Church's T-shirt. On the way back, I decided to go to She Oak Cafe because I felt like a coffee, victim of the cafe culture. Walked in, ordered my coffee, and the young fellow there said, Vineyard Church's, they're the guys that started by John Wimber, weren't they? And I was like, yeah, you know about them. And he goes, yeah, I like John Wimber. Yeah, I've been reading about him. I said, what do you know about it? And we had a little conversation. And he goes, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I was like, cool, where'd that come from? But anyway, that's really cool. And he's like, yeah, if you ever want to keep in touch or whatever. And I was like, yeah, sure. And I went and got my coffee and went out and was like, oh, wow, God, where'd that come from? That just dropped out of nowhere. And I was like, oh, here and gone, and you know, that's the last. But anyway, I was outside and he kept coming back out a couple of times and telling me about how he's been having strong discussion about creation and evolution and da 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 da. And I said, oh, are you going to a church somewhere now? Oh no, not going to a church or something. And I said, oh, are you a bit disillusioned? Is there a reason? Are you a bit been disillusioned or something? He goes, nah, just don't. And I was like, oh, well, do you know where Sunrise School is? We meet in the... Anyway, pray for Francois. I love his name. Australian of Italian heritage with a French name, Francois. So I just wanted to share because that was a conversation that just dropped out of nowhere from God. And I'm not usually very good at making those kind of conversations happen. So it just shows you. Be on alert and wait and see. And I said to him in a message, I think that was a God thing for both of us, for me, but also to maybe prompt you that it's time to be in fellowship again. Because he said something like that. He said, yes, I'm not going anywhere, but I think maybe it's time I should. Fantastic. And so I just was like, yeah, maybe God's saying it's time you should. So pray for young Francois. We might see him one day. Okay, we'll do. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Francois. Thank you for that lovely little divine appointment because divine conversation because it blessed me. It was a lovely reminder how you just, when we're open to it, you just drop into our conversations. All over. I did nothing for that. So we pray for Francois that something will open up for him to be part of your family again. For him to be in fellowship with your people. Yeah, here or there or somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. You can just get up and go.
G'day, everybody. How are we all? It's lovely to see your wonderful smiling faces. First time I've been back at church since the new year, so it's so joyful to see all of you. I'm so happy. It's just cool. I love you guys. You're amazing. Awesome. All right, so I was asked ages ago by Toe last year, could I share something? And I had absolutely no idea what I was going to share until earlier this week. I sat down with God, and I've been sort of wandering a bit with God in the last couple of weeks, being off of work. It's easy to get distracted, even though I told myself being off of work, this is going to be the time that I'm going to knuckle down on my Bible study and I'm going to do all this stuff. And yeah, I've gone camping and played Xbox. So yeah, you know, but that's okay. I'm back on the right track now. So praise God. But in that, I was prompted this week a reminder of a conversation I had. So that's what I want to share about. And so in church, everybody plays a role. And it's not necessarily just your, you know, worship team or your sound team or baristas or counting the offerings and all that stuff. Not just that. But everybody plays a role as a part of the church family. We all play a role in inviting people in and making friendships and making more family, more church family, and being leaders to one another, not necessarily just pastoring leaders, but, you know, leading and helping each other through. We're called to walk together in that way. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." So, as we can see, we're called to be a body. We're all individuals, but we help each other through, because you can't have your fingers working without your wrist or your elbow and so on and so forth. So, yeah, many parts make up the body. So, yeah, we obviously know we've all got different roles to play. And in reflecting on that, the conversation that I had with, I'm going to name him, Josh Woodley, Mr. Josh Woodley, my brother from another mother. Obviously, as you can probably see, we're two peas in a pod. But anyway, I had a conversation with Josh, and it was quite funny because Josh and I are very, very similar. We like a lot of the same things. We're the same height. I'm taller. we have a very, you know, outgoing personality and all the rest of it. But one difference that I found in this conversation was I've thought a few times I don't like to say it, but I get jealous of Josh sometimes because he, like on church camp where you had fellowship with all of sort of the younger adults and whatnot, and it's not that I'm left out, but I'm not terribly good at it because, I mean, as my mum said, when I was a newborn baby, old people come and looked at me and said, "You've got an old soul." And so I don't really connect that great with all the new younger people with their slang terms, and it makes me sound really old even though I'm not. So, and so I know that's a bit funny. And, I mean, I connect to some level, but not like Josh does. And then it was quite funny because Josh goes, "Yeah, well, I feel the same about you." And I'm like, "What do you mean? How could you feel the same way?" He goes, "Yeah, well, I can talk to men. I can talk to older men, and I seem to be really good at that. It doesn't matter what walk of life they're from, who, you know, what experiences they've had. I can just talk to men. I'm just good at it. I connect well. I get what's going on, and it just happens." And so I found that really quite interesting, and I felt like God highlighted that to me, because then I realized, well, we've got people in this church that are really good at bringing in international people, international students, we've got people that are really good at bringing in families and talking to families. We've got people that are really good at talking to disabled people and helping the disabled and bringing them in as well. And so it made me think, you know what, instead of just looking at the body as we've all got a role to play at church, what you do on Sunday, we've all got a role to play, who do you talk to? And it actually reflects, when I think about it too, on my personality and Josh's personality. Josh is currently doing social work in his uni and in his studies, and so that makes sense. He's good at talking to younger generation. He's good at, you know, having that lingo, you know, and doing all that stuff, where I work in the more industrial area and I work with old men and I get along with them really well. So, yeah, I felt like God was highlighting that to me because then I was asking Mum about it. And in Mark 6, verse 12, it says, "And he called them," Jesus, "the 12, began to send them out two by two. And he sent them all out to different places, and they all excelled in where they were, because that's where they were called to go. That's where they were called to be. And so God has appointed us and has sent us out, and we're not going to fail in the areas that he sent us to, because he doesn't call us into things we can't do. So I want to ask you and challenge you this today, for you to press into and think about, who is it that you're good at talking to? Who is it that you're good at connecting to? And it doesn't just have to be at church. It can be in your job, at home with your family, everywhere you go. Who is it that you just seem to be able to connect with? Because everybody's got someone that, or some group of people that they seem to be good at doing that with. So I just challenge you to think about that and go, is there more that I can press into them? Is there more that I can do? But I also want to say, it doesn't mean you can only talk to that one group of people. I can also talk to younger children, older ladies, whatever. God calls us to talk to everybody. So don't also think that you have to focus on that one group. I just want to challenge you to press into who it is that you might be better at, per se, at connecting with. Hey everybody, this is my wonderful mum. Her name is Melanie. She's pretty cool. I'll just pray for you as you come to speak. So Lord, we thank you for Melanie. We thank you for what it is she's prepared for us today. Would you just bless the words to each and all of us individually, that we would get out what it is that you have for us individually, and that we can really hear what it is you've got to say. We can see the things you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thanks, Angus. I'm just going to play with my iPad for a second. Hold on. All right, now I can read it. So, I have been invited to share with you some highlights of last year and some hopes for this year. And, well, 2022, I think actually Maria nailed it on the head. She mentioned a number of times last year that last year was a year of shift. And for me, it very much felt that way, a season of change, both personally and really not just for me, but for everyone here at church. But I want to give you a bit of a personal testimony. After 20 years of hardship, renting mainly awful homes, being in many destructive and damaging relationships, living in relative financial poverty, I had a certain posture towards God. I was able to find a lot of joy in very little things. I learned to rest in his faithful provision. But man, was I praying for and declaring the breakthrough that I knew was mine as a child of God. I knew well Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and constant in prayer. I awaited the prophecies of many of the church members here and visitors that we had come to the church. Breakthrough is coming. The abundant overflow is on its way. Papa is returning what the locusts have eaten. Well, last year, and even perhaps the beginning of the year before, there was sudden change. There is flourishing and there's abundant provision. We have shifted, I have shifted, to owning my own home. I have a beautiful, Christ-loving husband. Yes, I agree. I have debts that are being paid. I have a permanent job in a new system at a very different school. I've taken on a pastoral role here at church, something that I previously very adamantly thought I would never do. I've seen my children flourishing. It's an all-new season of change. Truly, I can say I am blessed, and it's not of my own doing, but miracle upon miracle of our gracious Father. If my life had continued as it was, our God would still be nothing but gloriously gracious and loving. I would still give thanks in the midst of it all. I would continue declaring his goodness. But now I have a new testimony, and I can truly declare Isaiah 12, give thanks to the Lord and call on his name, make known his deeds among the people, make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done glorious things, and let this be known throughout the earth. I can do that in a totally new way now. It's not that I couldn't do it before, but I have new things that I can share, new ways that God has blessed me that I have never experienced before. It's not that I hadn't experienced his blessings and miracles before, but these are so very different for me. So, that brings me to this year. My hope is that I am going to be able to shift my posture towards God. I want to learn how to walk in the abundance with continued good stewardship and a Christ-like heart. I want to shift my prayer life foci as a result. I am seeking new God-directed routines for deeper change that will help me to continue to grow for the sake of the capital C, church, but also for Marion and for the broader church in my own home township in Strathalbyn. I am, so to speak, seeking to extend and expand my tent pegs, but more. I want deeper roots, and I want to broaden my wingspan. And I love what Ruth brought. I want to learn the unforced rhythms of grace in this new season. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. And in Isaiah, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I feel like I've pressed into both of those for many years, and I'm seeing them in a whole new light, in a way that I haven't seen them before, where my roots can possibly go now and where I can possibly soar with Jesus. So this year, I want to declare for me and for others here, if you wish to receive it, that this year is going to be a year of going deeper in faith and learning to walk that out in all new ways. So bring it on, Lord. Yeah, let me pray for you all. Father God, we bless you for all that you have done, all that you are doing and working on in our lives now, and we praise your holy name for the outworking before we have seen it. Father, we find joy in the midst of our troubles because we know that you are the God who calms the seas. We know that you are the one that brings the fruit and the flourishing, and that you are faithful and gracious to your word. And so, Lord, we just receive now your great abundance from the storehouses of heaven that you have for us in our deepest need in this moment, whether that be emotional healing, whether it be restoration of finances, or just a flourishing in finance. Father, for peace, we receive your peace. And Jesus, we lay our eyes on you, that we would walk humbly with you each day, that we would be good stewards of all that you give us, that we would grow into the more that you have. And so we receive all of your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. I love this fellowship because there's such richness of variety and diversity. Did you hear the Holy Spirit while you're worshiping? Yes. Did you hear God speaking through Ruth, Angus, and Melanie? So preaching and teaching is not the only way we hear God. All right. So I want to put this scripture to practice. I'll give you some instruction because part of in this group, you need a bit of management and leadership. All right. That then we can function properly, as Angus kind of like alluding that we're not to compete or compare, but we are supposed to complement each other. So there's no competition, you know. Like, I'm the toe, I'm the little toe, it's taken, so. All right, can we all read this scripture, please? Yep.
Come. The profession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
So we're going to practice this after a couple of worship songs. So the other scripture I want to add is in Colossians and Ephesians. Colossians and Ephesians was written about the same time when Paul was in prison and he was going to die. But it was a different context. In Colossians, because they were into a lot of super spiritual imagination, talking to angels and even sort of going after old philosophy and make it their own. So they were kind of Gnostic, very into knowledge. And in that context, Paul say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Because he doesn't want all kind of imagination coming out, but just the rhema, the soaking of knowledge of Christ. And then after that, it say, admonish one another. You know, if you are a bit more musical, sing psalms and hymns to each other. So it was a real encouragement because they were filled with the word. So I would imagine that Ruth, Angus, and Mally brought enough word that you kind of meditating in your heart. And then in Ephesians, kind of similar kind of exhortation, but in Ephesians, it was a more mature church, more loving church, more doing the right stuff. In that context, Paul said, be filled with the Holy Spirit continuously. So they already know Christ, know the promises, but be filled, because in the prompting of the Holy Spirit, again, he say, sing song to each other, make melody in your heart with to Christ. So we're going to do that after the couple of worship, all right? kind of posture yourself in silence, would say, and say, Lord, this is not about me. Can you give me a word to bless someone, to encourage someone, to really stir someone up? You know, someone is falling in slumber, and the stirring and encouraging was like using a sharp thing real close and, come on, wake up. You know, time to go to work and love. All right. So some of you are not familiar to sharing up front. That's fine. We're going to have Melanie, Simon, and Melinda at the back. If you got a word, you got a prompting, and you kind of, I really want to have a go, but I'm not sure, just go to them, submit to them. Okay, the last part of that sharing in Ephesians, it talks about in Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence of Christ. All right? Paul made it very clear, submit to one another. It's not submit to the pastor or Pastor Maria, one another. So it's a mutual respect, mutual, again, complementary, not competing. You know, I would never talk like Josh with his lingo, or Angus, you know, the macho Aussie, like, g'day, mate, you know. But that's what the beauty of the body of Christ, all right? Everyone game to do it? So just posture yourself and say, Jesus, give me the word. Holy Spirit, fill my heart now so that the words of my mouth will be pleasing to you and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing to you. So let me pray, and Angus and Maria is going to lead us in prayer, and I'll be up front, like say, you know. And sometimes the word is not public. So just to add that, it's like, I just want to go and pray for Jerry and Julie. You know, just go for it. You don't need my permission. Just go for it and say, I want to bless. So Father, we want to come. We thank you for the sharing of Ruth, Angus, and Melanie, and the leading of worship by Angus and the team. So we just now ask that you lead us and guide us, because you are God of peace and God of order, and we just want to do all this, not only to bless your heart, but to encourage and stir each other up to the good works. Because we know the days are drawing near, so we want to be really, really stirred up to be and do all that the Father has.